Well, it is a gift to celebrate the love that Jesus has for each and every one of us. And at this time, I would like to welcome and extend a welcome to our internet community who is listening now, to those who live too far away to be here with us, and yet they still join our community in worship. So we are blessed to share the gospel in places far and wide, and we are thankful for those who are part of our listening community on the internet. I'm going to read to you this morning from the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter. The back of your bulletin has a few extra verses. We're just reading to 42 today. Jesus has been talking with the woman at the well, as Darlene shared, with our young children. And he has just revealed to the woman at the well that he is the Christ, that I who speak to you am he. He reveals who he is to her. Well, just then, the disciples returned and were surprised to find Jesus talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Well, they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Well, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 more days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The word of God for us, the people of God. All right, friends, this is a long one this morning. Reminds me of a story of a little boy, Michael. He had been listening to a long sermon, and he asked his father after church, "What does the pastor do the rest of the week?" And his father said, "Well, you know, he's a very busy man. He takes care of the church business, and he visits the sick and ministers to the poor, and he studies and prepares for preaching the next week. You know, talking in public isn't a very easy job, you know." And little Michael said, "Well, listening ain't too easy either." So bear with me today. Today's conversation is about discipleship. It's about how we share God with others. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who shares God with others. Now, there was a book written in the 1970s about communication. It was a book titled Positioning the Battle for Your Mind. I don't know if any of you read that book in the 70s. Well, one of the authors, his name was Al Reese, and he said this. He said, quote, "We are the world's first over-communicated society. Each year, we send out more information and receive less." That's the end of the quote. Think about this. This statement was made before the advent of the internet, before email, before web pages, before cell phones were a household commodity, before text messaging. How many times has this information overload increased and multiplied since the 70s? In 2009, in fact, the Oxford English Dictionary added this term to their dictionary, information fatigue. Information fatigue, truly. It's defined as apathy, indifference, or mental exhaustion arising from exposure to too much information. Stress induced by the attempt to assimilate excessive amounts of information from the media, the internet, and work. That's quite a definition, huh? A lot of emotional and psychological stress there. Well, research is now showing that in addition to psychological and emotional stress from this information fatigue, research is now showing that an overload of information makes us less able to make a decision. We are less able to make a decision because of all of this information. Think about the quantity and the rate at which information is being delivered today. If it's harder to make a decision with all this information coming at us, I wonder, how do we share the gospel? How do we offer for people to make a decision about Jesus Christ? Are the decreasing numbers in our churches a result of this thing called information fatigue? That is, when it comes to faith, it's easiest not to make a decision at all. Last week, I invited you after worship to come and pray about renewing your relationship with Jesus Christ. And truly, I'll tell you, I was disappointed that there was not much of a response, because we are in the season of Lent. It is a time when our hearts should be setting everything aside except for our relationship with Jesus Christ. Could information overload be keeping us from making even faithful decisions? Maybe our difficulty in being disciples of Jesus Christ is that we don't know what information to share. Perhaps this story of Jesus and his disciples can give us some insight. So we begin this reading this morning, and you can look at the back of your bulletin if you want to follow along. We begin this at the point at which the woman leaves her water pot at the well. What is essential for her daily life, she no longer needs. She has just received it from Jesus. And she goes back to her village to share what she has learned. Now the disciples enter in on the scene. They had gone to get some food. You know, the Samaritans are not considered clean. And so in order to find food that would accommodate all their purity laws, I'm sure it took them some time. They were doing what they felt was necessary to be faithful. And the disciples return to Jesus just as the woman leaves. And it says that they were surprised to see Jesus talking with a woman, but they didn't ask Jesus about it. Okay. Disciple is the word for learner. Disciples are apprentices or pupils that attach themselves to a teacher to learn. And it says that these students, these pupils, these apprentices were surprised, and yet they didn't even ask Jesus about it. They didn't ask Jesus anything about his encounter with this woman. Maybe it was that the woman didn't matter much to the disciples, that the disciples wanted to attend to what they thought Jesus needed in that moment. So they offered Jesus some food that they brought back to him, and Jesus refuses. The disciples are confused at that point. They say, could someone else have brought him some food? So Jesus teaches, my food is to do the work of the one who sent me to finish his work. The Greek word for finish is the word telio. It means to complete. It means to mature. It means to reach the intended goal. It means to bring to a resolution, to realize, to accomplish, to fulfill. Jesus said that word on the cross, didn't he? It is finished. The goal was accomplished. The resolution was realized. Jesus was complete, completed his mission and purpose on earth in the cross. Well, here in John's gospel, Jesus knows exactly the work that he has come to finish, and the disciples are still confused. It's an interesting contrast, isn't it? This outcast woman who has no friends making friends with Jesus. She asks him lots of questions. She asks him about worship. She asks him about her life. And he asks her, where's her husband? He asks her questions right back. Immediately, this woman becomes his disciple. Immediately, she responds to his love. She's one of the unacceptable ones. She's an unclean Samaritan woman who didn't amount to much. And meanwhile, the disciples, the learned ones, the people of faith, the ones who have been studying, the ones who have been traveling with Jesus, they don't ask any questions. And they don't quite know how to respond. Roberta Biondi is one of my favorite people in the church world today. She's retired right now, but she was a seminary professor. She's a wonderful theologian. And I think that she wouldn't mind if I described her also as a contemplative. She studied the ancient desert mothers and fathers, the Abbas and the Ammas of the 4th century. And she was led our district, both the Arlington and Alexandria districts, this week in a continuing education meeting that we had. And Roberta Biondi describes that God is our friend. And she believes that there are 4 characteristics to that friendship. The first one is that friends want the same things. There's a desert saying from Theodora that says that friends share themselves in such a way that the well-being of one depends upon the fulfillment of the deepest needs of the other. The well-being of one depends on the fulfillment of the deepest needs of the other. So that our happiness is bound up with the fulfillment of God's deepest desires. And God's deepest desires are for wholeness and for the well-being of all of creation. Second characteristic of friendship, according to Biondi, is that friends speak their minds openly with one another, fully and without fear. Just again, look at that conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well. Both speak openly and without fear. Third characteristic of the friendship is that friends hold one another accountable. Jesus tells the woman to go get her husband. He calls her back to her own truth. And the fourth characteristic is that friends need one another. And here is where I struggle. Does God really need us? The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God needs us? Jesus, who is our King, our priest and prophet, our Savior, who is near, Jesus is our friend who needs us. Good reflection topic for our prayer and reflection time this Lenten season, don't you think? What I do believe is that our friendship with God is not one that is meant to be lived in isolation. Our friendship with God is exactly what each of us needs to share. We need to share the friendship that we have with God to witness for the sake of sanctifying the whole community. It's no good to have a belief and a faith and have a transformed life in Jesus Christ without sharing that with others, without sharing that with the whole community. The Holy Spirit works through our personal relationship, through our friendship with Christ, to reach others. The work of the Holy Spirit is not just about sanctifying our own individual life, but it's about transforming others in our community as well. Jesus said, again, this is later in the Gospel of John in the 17th chapter, he said, "May the community be brought to complete, there's that word again, finished, accomplished, fulfilled. May the community be brought to complete unity so that the world will know of our love." Jesus himself in John 15 calls his disciples friends. He calls them friends rather than servants. He says, "We are friends because we share everything, including our commitment to God, including our desire for God's deepest desire. The deepest desire of Jesus is to save us, to make us whole." And Jesus invites the disciples to be part of doing that. Jesus tells his disciples, "No one has a greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." The idea of laying down one's life for one's friends was accomplished, was completed, was fulfilled through Jesus' death and resurrection. Our death and resurrection happens when we lay down our life, when we surrender it all to God, whatever that might mean. It may mean doing something or serving someone, going somewhere you never intended to go. It may mean letting go of prejudices or hard feelings towards one another, like this woman at the well, who had to put all the hurt and all the rejection of being an outcast and scorned woman behind her. And she returned to the very people who had rejected her. It may mean laying down one's life in an act of forgiveness. Laying down one's life is an act of commitment to make another person more important than anything else, more important than even being right. And it's not easy, and it's costly, and it does not necessarily feel good. It is not attractive or successful, but it will bring you joy, and it will bring you eternal life, and it will bring others closer to God. Jesus tells the disciples, "The harvest is ready. The fields are ripe." Here's the thing. It's the outcast woman who gives Jesus the food he is looking for. She goes back to her village, to all those that rejected her, perhaps even some of them part of her family, and she tells them about Jesus, and she brings them back to meet him. It says that many believed because of the woman's testimony, and in fact, Jesus stayed on in Samaria for 2 more days. And the Samaritans tell the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you have said. We have now heard for ourselves, and we know this man is the Son of God." Remember back in January, I invited you to pray about 5 people that you know that you would like them to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyone remember that? I invited you to pick 5 people to keep in your prayers. Well, here's the next step. The pattern of discipleship, as it is outlined here in this passage, is that the woman meets Christ for herself. She encounters him and meets him for herself. She returns to share the news with her village. The people are led by her witness back to Jesus, and they meet and encounter Christ themselves. That's the pattern of discipleship. So the next step in prayer The most important step in sharing the gospel, in sharing God with another person, is knowing Jesus Christ for yourself. Not through information and research, not quoting scripture, but knowing through relationship the God who loves you, is merciful, is forgiving, and is transforming your life. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is the next step in sharing the gospel. That is what this Lenten season is all about. It is not about what happened in a relationship that you had with Jesus years ago when you first believed, but what is happening in your relationship today. So if we're going to be those who share the gospel with others, we are going to do that not through information overload and emails and text messages, but through face-to-face encounters, through real relationship, first with Christ and then with others. The information we need to share about Jesus comes from our own experience, from our own relationship with Jesus, from the way that Jesus is transforming our lives. Now, emails and text messages, podcasts and websites, they might help support our friendships with others, but the real sharing comes when we give up our water pots and we set down what we thought we had needed, we set down what we thought was essential for our life, and we take on that gift of life that Jesus offers us each and every day, a transformed and eternal life each and every day. So I invite all those who are participating in our internet community, who are listening to our podcast, to pray with us for those who need to know Jesus and to follow this pattern of discipleship. First, to know Jesus Christ well enough that your life is being transformed. Two, to return to those who are close to you, those in your family and those in your towns. And the third part of discipleship is sharing what God is doing in your life. I would like for you now to listen as Rosemary Salick comes forward to read a poem. It's one that she sent to me by email. She sent it to reflect back some of the essence of what she, keep coming, some of what she thinks our community could become. This poem offers a vision of what our witness can be to one another, witnessing even with strangers that we have never prayed about, or witness that leads others to the light of God's love, a witness that shares the love so clearly that others are led to it. This is a poem titled New York Subway by Hilda Morley.
Good morning. The beauty of the people in the subway that evening, Saturday, holding the door for whoever was slower or left behind, even with all that Saturday night excitement, and the high school boys from Queens boasting, joking together, proudly in their expectations and power, young, frolicsome bulls. And the three office girls, each strangely beautiful, the Indian with dark skin and the girl with her hair cut very short and fringed, like Joan at the stake, the corners of her mouth laughing, and the black girl, delicate as a doe, dark brown and pale brown clothes, and the tall woman in a long caftan the other day, serene and serious, and the Puerto Rican holding the door for more than 3 minutes for the feeble, crippled, hunched little man who could not raise his head, whose hand I held to help him into the subway car. So we were joined in helping him, and someone seeing us gives up his seat, learning from us what we had learned from each other.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you invite us into relationship,
And we thank you that you want what we want. And we ask that you put in our heart that our deepest desire might be to want what you want as well, to share in what offers wholeness and reconciliation for ourselves, for our families, for our community, and for our world. We ask that you help us during this Lenten season to speak openly with you, to share openly all that we are concerned about, to ask you the questions that are weighing heavy on our hearts. And we ask that you hold us accountable, that you begin transforming our lives by helping us to understand what we don't. And we ask that you help us to engage more deeply in this friendship with you, to understand that indeed you have called us to be part of your kingdom, and that we need your love and your mercy and your grace, and that you need our response to that grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is present in our midst to share that love and mercy. May we carry it out to share it with others. May the words that need to be spoken as we encounter those who want to hear your good news come forth by the power of your Spirit. May we share deeply from our experience of our relationship and our transformation through you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.